What's up, guys? Good evening, campus. You feeling good tonight? You know, I'm really excited for after midweek tonight to just watch you all just rush the table for these books. But seriously, take it easy. I do want them all to go home with somebody, though. So I did, Chelsea and I went through our library, and we've got a few hundred books to give away. Maybe a couple hundred. I don't know. There's a lot. And most of them are DPI and IPI books written by members of our fellowship. But good opportunity to get something to learn and dig deep into some stuff for the summer. Good stuff. But I don't know about you guys, but I'm very ready for some spring weather. Yeah. I feel like, come on. When's it? How many of you check your weather like every week and you're like, is this it? And you're like, maybe. And then it's not. You know, and every week it's like, I thought this was going to be it. I know for sure next week I'm going to be in better weather. Because next Tuesday, Chelsea and I are going down to Florida. And I'm very excited. We're doing our first family vacation. We're going down to Disney. Going to Orlando. We're going with my best friend John Rodio and his wife and their son, who's Bradley's best friend. And Chelsea's parents are going. My friend John's mom is coming. Phil Garrison and his daughter are coming for a few days. It's a big crew, but we're all going to have a fun time. I'm just so excited because, A, I love Disney. But I think I'm even more excited because Bradley loves Disney and loves Mickey Mouse. And I'm like, dude, you're going to see him. You know, like, you're going to meet him. And Coco, you're going to meet Coco is going to be there. And, you know, just some of these characters that he's starting to love. I'm just really excited to watch Bradley be excited with that, you know? And as a dad, I get excited about what my kid gets excited about. Does that make sense? Yeah. And you know, so tonight we're you know, our theme is grow. And so we're talking about growing, and God wants us to grow. It makes God excited when we grow. And you know, Sam did an amazing job on Sunday talking about overcoming obstacles to personal growth, self-awareness and self-denial, so that we can grow. And so, you know, if we want to please God and we want to know, well, what makes God happy? Just like I want to think about, well, what makes my son happy and things like that. How many of you, if the Bible says God loves blank type of person, want to know, well, yeah, what type of person does the Bible say God loves? Would you want to know what, right? We should, right? If we love God, then we want to know and be that, right? And so in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 and 7, excuse the, this looks intense up here. But it's good. The scriptures are good. So it says, remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. So if you want to be someone that God loves, then you need to be a cheerful giver. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. The title of my lesson is Grow in Generosity. God wants us to be generous givers. You know, greed is so common in our world. Greed is prevalent. It's common. And as God's set apart people, we need to stand out as generous givers. And not just generous givers, but cheerful in our generous giving. Generous, cheerful givers. And this applies to anything really, but primarily in this passage and what I'm going to be talking about tonight, we're talking about money. We're going to be talking about greed and generosity when it comes to money, wealth, possessions. This is something I've never done a full sermon on, so I feel like I have a lot to say. And honestly, there's a lot to be said in the Bible about it. And I know you might think, well, that doesn't apply to me a whole lot right now because I don't have a whole lot of money. But this does apply because we all have something. We all have at least a dollar, right? I hope. And so, no, but we all have something. Most of us do have jobs. And honestly, college counts as a job right now in a lot of ways. Although you pay for that, it doesn't pay you. Except for some people like Simone or a couple of people in here. It's like getting paid for college. It's crazy. So, but I do want to say this. A, do not write yourself off that this doesn't apply to you now. Come on. Greed and generosity does apply to all of us right now. And secondly, don't write this off because as much as it does apply to now, it's going to keep applying more as your life goes on. And you don't want to wait until you got money to deal with your heart with money. Amen. You want to deal with your heart before you have the money so that when you have it, you're still a Christian with it, right? And that you're godly with it. So this matters a whole lot, probably even more now than after you have a full career and stuff. So pay attention. So I got 2 points tonight. Get rid of greed and give generously. Those are my 2 points. Get rid of greed and give generously. So my first point, get rid of greed. Rid yourself of greed. We want to get it out of us. The definition of greed is selfish, excessive desire for more of something, such as money, than is needed. So we're greedy when we have an excessive desire for something, such as money, than we really need. That's convicting, isn't it? That's what greed is. Greed is one of our sinful nature's deadliest weapons. Why? Because it gets us selfish. And when we get selfish, we easily lead ourselves away from God and into some sort of sin. Right? When we get selfish, when we get greedy, it leads us away from God and multiplies the sin in our life. And I do think we got to pay attention to this, because we're intentionally but also subliminally taught to be greedy from the world since childhood. Right? Our culture says to be greedy. It's subtle. It's not called greed. Like, I don't think anybody's saying be greedy. I think greed is viewed as a bad thing, but it's more subtle than that. It's this culture of, you deserve this. You deserve better. Take care of yourself. Treat yourself. Right? But in a bad way. We do have to take care of ourselves, but take care of yourself in an unspiritual way, right? Or this culture of, that's mine. You know, I earn this. And so we're taught to be greedy from childhood. I see this in Bradley already. You know, and I don't think he's in sin yet, but it's there, the greed, you know? It's like, he cannot handle Tyler having a toy in his hands. He's not even playing with it. The second Tyler picks it up, Bradley's like, I want that. And then he'll throw it or put it down, you know? And so every day, Chelsea and I, I'm like, do not take stuff from Tyler, you know? And Tyler, he's starting to reach out and grab stuff from Bradley too. And it's easy to feel like, yeah, you get him back. But then it's like, no, Tyler, don't take that either. You know, but it's in us. I do think greed, like, look out for myself first. This idolatry is in us from an early age, yeah. Right? It's in our sinful nature. You know, and it's loving money is just, it's so ingrained in our culture. You know, this is borderline embarrassing, but I was young, so it's okay. But I remember visiting my grandma growing up, and this is like 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, 9, whatever. I don't know. Honestly, maybe it went up to older. And I remember visiting my grandma, and one of the, like, traditions of visiting my grandma was her taking out a jar of all the change that she had saved up since the last time that she was there. And then me and my brothers, this was the thing, we would get on the ground on our, like, hands and knees, and she would proceed to, around her living room, throw the change. And we would just be like mad rush, just hoarding. Like, it was like hungry hippos, like, just like, pull it in, pull it in. And obviously, as the oldest sibling, I got the most every time. And so, but there was just this, like, from a little kid, there's this, like, get money. You know what I mean? Like, grab it, get it for yourself. And so, but we grow up with that, and although we might not be on the ground acting like that, we really do kind of make ourselves slaves to money. You know, and it's ingrained in us. We got to pay attention to greed. I think it's easy for us to think, I'm not greedy, because we think of people like Ebenezer Scrooge, or, you know, that, well, he's not real, but Barney, you know, Bernie Madoff, or just Barney, Bernie Madoff, or just, I spelt it wrong on here, so that's why I said Barney. Barney, so greedy. Bernie Madoff. No, but we think of these like corporate, ruthless corporate people, and these, you know, evil businessmen. But greed is a lot closer to home than that.
That's right.
You know, greed is a lot closer to home than that. Greed is not a word that we often associate ourselves with much or evaluate. I don't know how much I really say, Rob, are you being greedy? You know, how much do we stop and evaluate our greed and the greed that's in our hearts? I think we need to do that more, because greed is serious, and God is very serious about greed.
That's right.
And about how we view money. Listen to some of these passages. Matthew 23:25. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Mark 7:22. For it is written, or notice, for it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed. Right there on a list of some real serious stuff. 1 Corinthians 5:19-13 is a passage talking about in the church, if someone doesn't repent, you can actually expel them, disfellowship them from the church for a few different things. And greed is one of them. It says, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave this world. He's saying, look, I told you don't associate, but I'm not talking about non-Christians. Then you'd have to leave this world. But now I am writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who claims to be a brother or sister, but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater or slanderer, a drunkard or swindler. Do not even eat with such people. What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked person from among you. Isn't that intense?
Yeah.
You know, greed is one of the things that we could be expelled from the church from. And so we should look at greed in our hearts and go, man, is this serious? Right? And I do want to say from this passage, we do have to guard ourselves from people who unspiritually leave the church and are in sin in some way. There do need to be boundaries with people like that. That's what the Bible's saying here. And one of those things is greed. Ephesians 5, 3 to 5. But among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality. We preach that, right? We study that in the scriptures, but it goes on. Or of any kind of impurity or of greed. So just like we don't even want a hint of sexual immorality, the Bible also says don't even have a hint of greed in your heart, of greed in your life. It says, because these are improper for God's holy people. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater. If you're greedy, you're your own God, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. 1 Timothy 6, 6 to 10. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we could take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Let's not be those people. You know, these are a lot of passages, and honestly, there's so many more. Money and greed, there's more said in the Bible about money and greed than there's said about faith in the Bible. That should tell us something.
Wow.
That should tell us that money and the desire for it is something that God is very concerned about with us. I wouldn't say he's worried, because God doesn't worry, but he's concerned. He's like, look, I'm putting this here because this helps how the world runs, but also I know how this is gonna make you guys act and feel, and so you gotta watch yourselves. You know, it's sick what the desire for more and more money will make people feel and do. We see it in the world, we could see it in our own lives. And so I really want you to think about, how seriously are you taking greed in your life and in your heart?
Wow.
You know, what greed do you have to rid yourself of? We've all got greed. What greed do you have to rid yourself of? Jesus is dead serious about greed. God's serious about it. Another great passage you can write down is Luke 12, 13 to 21, to hear more what Jesus said about this. About how life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. And that we don't want to be people who are rich towards ourselves, but people who are rich toward God.
Right.
You know, we know from the scriptures that greed is a really serious and it's an ugly thing, and it's in us. It comes from within our hearts. Greed's in us. And I don't speak to you as someone without greed. You know, I'm not preaching this like I don't have greed. You know, I've seen it in myself and have had to fight so hard to rid myself of this deep selfishness. You know, it's just so not like Jesus to be greedy and to be selfish. You know, I'm so grateful to have become a Christian so that my selfishness can be brought to the light and dealt with. Because honestly, it wasn't something I was thinking about, paying attention to, or even aware of. I'm so grateful to be a Christian so my selfishness can start to be changed and gotten rid of. On my own, I'm just incredibly greedy. On my own, I'm very selfish. You know, I naturally want whatever is gonna be best for me to be what happens. You know, and whatever is the best outcome for me, that's the outcome that I'm going to work towards at the whatever expense, or, and if I don't have to pay for it, that's even better. You know, just naturally, it's like, well, what's going to work out best for me?
Yeah.
You know, that's where my heart goes. That's naturally what I'm inclined towards. That's why so much of my sin before becoming a disciple was stealing, lying, people pleasing, was because of selfishness and greed. And I'm just so glad to be a Christian, and we should all be, so that we could change that. so that we're not investing in ourselves and wasting it, but we can invest in something bigger than ourselves instead. We've got to see the greed in us. You know, being a Christian should help bring that out so we can repent of it. God wants it to come out so we can change. You know, I remember, and I might have shared this before even, but I remember growing up and I had friends over all the time. Like literally every day I had friends over. School nights, whatever. And so elementary school, high school. And I remember just feeling like I was so hospitable. You know, friends would come over and it'd be like, make yourself at home. Anything in the fridge or you know, pantry, go for it. And we're, you know, like everything. We're just always eating and stuff, you know? And then I move out and I move into this brother's apartment. I become a Christian. And then people are coming over and they're wanting to eat. And it's like, Rob, where'd that make yourself at home spirit go? Rob, where'd that eat whatever you want in the pantry thing go? Where the, dude, can you eat before you come? Because I'm on a budget and just don't come over hungry, you know? And what happened? I realized I wasn't really generous. I was giving something that wasn't mine, so I was generous. But it was greed that was being brought out and why I wasn't hospitable. You know, I remember being a young Christian and going grocery shopping at Aldi. And, you know, you could get so much there for so little. And I remember running into a sister that I didn't even know a whole lot yet, but it was Lisa Hofstetter, Rebecca's mom. And so I run into her and she knows I'm a young Christian in the brother's house. She's like, oh my gosh, you guys must totally need food. She just finished paying for her stuff. We're walking out together and she's taking stuff out of her bags and putting it into my bags. She's like, do you guys need bread? I'm like, well, I just got some. She's like, we'll take more. Do you guys need? And I'm like, this is awesome, you know? And so, but that's honestly, that's a Christian right there. You know, she wasn't like, well, I just paid for this. She was thinking, man, let me be generous. Let me give. And so that was a great example for me so I could repent in this greed. You know, as we follow Jesus and we put our old self to death, we've got to get rid of our greed. The greed needs to go with it, right? As we're repenting, as we're changing, as we're following Jesus, let's make sure greed's one of the things we're getting rid of. You know, the influence of materialism is all around us. Every day you're bombarded by it. You know, materialism, just more money, more and better possessions, more and better things. You know, and we've just got to make sure we don't buy the lie that more is better. Or that newer is better, or better is better. You know, Jesus said life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Do we believe him? Do you believe Jesus? Or do you act like you believe that? Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. John Rockefeller was the first billionaire. You know how much money he had if he lived today would be worth $340 billion. He would have four times more money than Bill Gates. Right? And there's a quote of him saying, he was the richest man of his day when he was alive, first billionaire. He said, how much is enough? More than I presently have. What he's saying there is, when do you feel like you have enough? Well, even with what I have, it still doesn't feel like enough. And so it's just a lie that more is finally enough. It's not. You ask the guy who has the most and he'll tell you that. You know, greed can affect us wherever we are in the financial spectrum. You don't have to be poor to be greedy. You don't have to be rich to be greedy, right? Either way, it can work out. You know, if struggling financially, you could always be thinking about how you want and you need more. If you're well off, you can end up with a false security in your wealth based off your wealth. And you could be not using it to help others and be greedy because of that, or just wealthy but still wanting more. So whether you're poor or you're rich, we could be greedy just the same. And we're definitely affected by our backgrounds. You've got to know that too. What you grew up with and what you grew up around can affect greed in your life. Whether you grew up with plenty or whether you grew up with little can affect your greed. And really, when you think about it, it's all so relative. It's relative. Whether you have a lot or you have a little is compared to what? Right. Compared to who? What's modest? You know? You know, I feel like I have a modest home. I feel like it's a nice home. I don't feel like it's showy or impressive. I feel like it's fine. I like it, you know? And then I went over to Africa and stayed with brothers and sisters there, and they're building up the home I'm going to stay in. This family has a really nice house. They have probably the nicest house in the whole church here. They live in a really wealthy community. I walk in the house, and it's really like very much the same as the home I live in. I mean, a little bit different, but any of our average homes, that was basically what it was. And it was a really nice home. But I felt like, my gosh. And here I'm not content all the time with what I have. It's like, well, what are we comparing to? Right. You know, you could always compare to something else. I go to my one friend's house and I've had these thoughts, man, I wish I had their garage. They got this big double door garage and all this space in here, you know? And then they've come over my house and I heard him say, man, I wish we had the backyard you guys have. And I'm like, what am I envying for? You know what I mean? Like we all, nobody's content, right? So just be content with what you have then. You know, it's all relative. We need to have the right perspective. We know, we just need to act like we know and remember that we know that immaterial things in life are where value is really found.
Yeah.
Not the material, it's in the immaterial. Our relationship with God, our friendships, our character, our joy, our contentment, our experiences, living for a purpose bigger than yourself, investing into somebody's soul in eternity, going to heaven one day, that's where real value's at. Not in money and in material things. And yet as disciples, sometimes, even though we've got one foot in God's kingdom trying to build that, we're very much still got one foot still in the kingdom of this world trying to build that as well. And we've got to make sure that we're not so focused on material things and having a love for money. Obviously, it's not wrong to be rich, to have nice things and enjoy them. God wants us to. It's wise to save money, all of that. But it's very wrong to have an excessive desire for more than you need.
Yeah.
It's very wrong to be discontent with what you have and to be greedy, to value material things more than the immaterial, or to allow pursuing these things to come at the expense of investing in the other things that really matter more.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, I want to read another passage here and then ask a couple questions and move on to my second point. But in Hebrews 13, verse 5, just for some perspective from God, he says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.
Yep.
So to God, greed is saying, God's not enough. I'm not content.
Come on, bro.
I don't trust God to provide.
Right.
I'm not content with what he's provided. I deserve better, I deserve more. And God is asking, but am I enough? And he's saying, if you got me, you got what you need, and I got you.
Amen.
That's what he's saying here. Don't worry about money. Just worry about me. And being close to me, because never will I leave you or I forsake you, and I'm what you really need to live. You know, and I just read this, and I feel like, what a better way to live.
Right.
Instead of living just so eagerly, running around like a psycho, trying to make money and wealth and possessions, like, just build a walk with God, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and the rest will be given to you as well. You know, and my life will be filled of true value, not temporary value. You know, so here's some questions to help you see if you have some greed in your heart. Do you consistently live beyond your means? And what that means is better than necessary or better than you can actually afford responsibly. Do you consistently live beyond your means? Do you have a difficult time living within a budget? Do you feel discontent because you don't have fill in the blank? Is there something that you're just discontent because you don't have that? Does it bother you that others have more than you? Are you not giving to God? Contribution here is what we're talking about. Are you not giving to God because of the things you want but don't really need? But you couldn't afford those things if you did give generously to God. Basically saying, which are you spending your money on? And which matters more to you to spend your money on? Think, you know, I want to encourage you guys, before, you know, just with the material possessions, before you buy something, just think, do I really need or want this? And if you feel like overall in your life you're responsible and you don't or aren't greedy and excessively buying things and compulsive and you really want something, then it's okay to treat yourself with something, right? God has richly provided everything for our enjoyment. But there's definitely other times where we go, do I really? And it's like, could this money, would I rather use this money some other way to maybe save it? Or, man, I haven't given contribution in the last couple of weeks. Maybe I should repent. You know, like to actually engage that level of thinking instead of just impulse, right? And spending money. You know, I remember, when I was in late, after I turned 18, my mom just started to try to train me to be more responsible with money. And there were things she used to just buy that she stopped just paying for. Like stuff I just wanted, like if there was a shirt I saw or whatever. And I remember being in the store and I'd see a shirt and I'd be like, oh mom, can I get this? And she's like, well, you've been working, you have some money, you can buy it. And I would stop and go,
nah.
And I would, and so But what that exposed is some greed there. Like, well, if you're paying, I'll get it. But if I'm paying, I don't really want it. But we got to think more that way, right? About purchases that we make. And I do want to encourage you, don't turn every shopping trip into a guilt trip. Just make sure you have the right heart and that you're being responsible and disciplined and not becoming excessive in spending and in how you view material possessions and money. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I want to encourage you, get more in touch with your greed and ways that it comes out in your life. You know, figure it out, see it so you can repent of it. There might be some big and obvious ways that you'll see it in your life, right? There might be some stuff that's just blaring like really bad shopping habits. You know, like, I've just got to cut this out, right? Or it might just be that you don't give contribution. That should be big and obvious. I need to start giving contribution, right? It might be not helping others, or it might be something obvious like just always upgrading when you don't really need to, like a phone or a new thing, right? It's like, no, it's what I have working, right? And just, you don't need the newest and best thing every time, right? And so those might be some bigger, more obvious ways, but also look for the greed and the subtle nuances of your life. That's where I'm starting to see them more, and it's really convicting me. You know, I'll make two sandwiches and my mind goes, which one looks better? You know, and it's like, because I'm thinking, I want that one. And I'm like, no, give Chelsea the one that looks better. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, two things come out and it's like one looks like the cheese is more melted, right? It's like, no, but maybe this is just me, but just little stuff like that, I quickly think, which one looks better, right? Which half looks better? I want that to be my half. With tipping, right? Every time I go to write a tip, recently I'm like, Rob, don't be greedy. You know what I mean? Like you were a waiter once, first of all. Second of all, even if you weren't, like, just give the person a few bucks. You know what I mean? And so just being I never not tip, right? But I'm just saying, it's like, oh, well, two should be fine. No, be a good person and give $3, you know? If you spent $15 or whatever, right? But I'm just saying, there might be some obvious ways that you see your greed, and I'm just encouraging you to look for them, but also look for these little nuanced ways that greed can come out in your life. Be responsible, but also look for the greed. We don't want even a hint of greed to be in our lives. So you've got to notice, well, what things bring out greed in me, and don't flirt with them. Flee from them, right? Don't let there be even a hint of greed in your life, right? And so if you've got some more serious things, then talk to somebody about it, you know, and really try to figure this out so you can repent, amen? So let's get rid of our greed. Let's repent in how we view and use our money and possessions. And rather than be greedy, let's give generously,
amen.
Right? So being greedy is like giving generously to ourselves, right? You deserve more. But we want to give generously to God and to others. You know, here's an amazing passage that I'm going to read quick, but I encourage you to study it out more on your own. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 15. Honestly, all of 2 Corinthians 8, 9 are a lot about contribution and giving money. Amazing scriptures. Listen to this. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound in you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Amen. You know, there's a lot in here. And what I see is that as we get rid of greed in our hearts, it must be replaced with generosity. Right? God is calling us to be generous. And real repentance is not just getting rid of the sin, but replacing it with the spiritual, the opposite. It's replacing bad with good, not bad with nothing. So as we get rid of the greed, we've got to replace it with generosity. Yeah. Ephesians 4:28 says, "Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need." So it's not just stop stealing. It's stop stealing, work, provide for yourself, and be able to give to others. That's the goal. That's repentance. The goal in your life with money should not be just to get your needs taken care of. However I can get it, whatever way, right? I just need my needs taken care of, and that's the role that money has in my life. The role that money has in your life should be that you earn it to provide for yourself, and you earn it enough to the point where not only do you provide for yourself, but you're able to give and give generously. The goal is not get rich. The goal is give richly, right? It's gain so you can give, not gain for yourself. So how can we fill our hearts? How can we fill our hearts with generosity instead of greed so that we can give richly, right? And not just give richly reluctantly, but give richly with cheerful hearts. Because that's what God wants, is us to feel supportive and you know, happy with what we give, not reluctant. So I'm going to give you a few things to think about here that will help you focus on having this generous heart when it comes to giving financially and possession-wise. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
So here's six things to help you with this, and I'll be quick with these. The first one is be grateful, right? To give generously with a cheerful heart, it starts with being grateful. God has given you so much.
Right.
And gratitude compels generosity. You know, the last line is thank God for his indescribable gift.
Yeah.
Talking about Jesus, we're saved by grace. We're going to heaven instead of hell because Jesus suffered on a cross and died for us. And that didn't just happen. Jesus did it. We were bought at a price. He paid his own blood and torture for us. Romans 8:32 says, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things?" It says God gave us Jesus. And he's also graciously going to give us even more than that. Acts 17:25 says that God has given us life and breath and everything else. James 1:17 says every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. 1 Timothy 6:17 says that God richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. God gives you everything you have. God gives you Jesus. He gives you salvation. He's giving you heaven. He gives you everything that you have in your life. And so you need to be grateful. We have so much. Spiritually, relationally, materially, experientially, we have so much that God's given us. And so we've got to be grateful, and that should make you give generously and cheerfully. You know, I've done this before, and I encourage you to do it. Sit down and just write a list. Go, I'm just going to write 100 things I'm grateful to God for. Do more than that. You'll find out it's pretty easy to do. You know, things that you enjoy, things you need, things that you've experienced. We need to be so grateful. Make more of an effort to be grateful to God. Second thing to help you give generously is value the use. Well, I'm giving the money, but is it going in the garbage or is it going somewhere? It's going somewhere.
Yeah.
And first of where it's going is a to who it's going, right? You're giving it not just to something, but to someone. And you can be grateful that you can contribute to such an amazing purpose and person. When you give money to God, you're giving money to God. You're saying, God, here's a gift to you. And we got to remember who we're giving to. Value the use of it. You know, value, wow, I'm giving to God, and that means something to you. We should love serving God. It said there, this act of service, right? It said this service that you perform. And so giving money is an act of service to God, right? So it's serving God to give, and we should value that. Wow, I'm serving God by doing this. And, you know, I would say God deserves it. And it's almost like that doesn't even sound right. It's like, yes, he deserves it. He more than deserves it. It's just, it's his, you know, and we'll get to that more in a minute here. But like God, we're giving to God, right? And we want to give to God. And so we've got to know money itself is not what's important to us. What we use it for is what's important to us. And so we use it for that. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also, right? Where a heart is, that's where we put our money. And so if your heart is in God, then you should give contribution.
Yeah.
If your heart is invested in building the kingdom, then you should put money there. You know, we've got weekly contribution. Every week we take up contribution. 1 Corinthians 16 says every week do this, right? And so 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2 talks about that. And so every week a contribution is taken up for the church.
Right.
It supports the needs of the church, which is way more than you can imagine. I mean, those communion cups aren't free. You know, the place we're meeting in is not free. The sound system is not free. Nothing's free, you know? And so, you know, even like that comes from contribution, the staff, having evangelists supported, campus ministers, youth and family ministers, and things like that. That meeting here tonight costs money. That comes out of people giving on Sunday.
Wow.
We wouldn't be able to have midweeks if there was no, we couldn't do this, you know? And so you got to value, wow, giving to this, wow, that's, man, I spend money on food. I spend money on clothes. This is way more important than any of that.
Yeah.
You know, and if I spend money on that, I better be spending money on this.
Yeah.
Right? I'm giving it to God, but you're also giving it to the building of his church. Special missions contribution is it every year, a one-time special contribution we take that explicitly goes to support 57 churches across the country, but also primarily Africa and the Caribbean,
right?
So that's what we're giving to. And so you give to that, not because it's like, well, I have to give, but you're like, wow, I value what this is going to.
Right.
And you give anyway, because it's going to God. Even if you don't know where it's going, it's like, look, I'm just giving this to God and I'm trusting him with it. But it does help me to be inspired to know, wow, think about, Rob, what you're giving this to, right? Obviously, there's other stuff like offering for the poor, paying for retreats, you know, just other opportunities to support people with money or disaster relief. You know, remember when you're giving or when you're paying for something, the spiritual value in what you're paying for and what you're giving it to, right? Value the use. This is kingdom treasure that we're investing in, right? And, you know, Romans 12 talks about different gifts people have. One of those gifts is if your gift is giving, then give generously, right? And so we should all give generously, obviously. But I will say this. There's a role in the church that needs to be had of some people who go out into the secular world and go, you know what? I'm going to use the gifts God's given me to make as much money as possible so that I can give as much as possible. Because church plantings cost money, mission work costs money, church, right? It costs money to function in this world. And so some of you, maybe what the vision you need on your heart is not so much your career objective, but man, how can I use the gifts God given me to position myself to make as much as I can so I can give a lot?
Right.
And there's people who give millions of dollars to the church.
Yeah.
And some of you can be those people for the next few decades. You know, we could think about, man, can that be part of my role in the church? And it can be. And I think that's an amazing, amazing, amazing thing to view your life as a resource to. So value these things. Another thing that could help you give generously is view money as a resource,
right?
So when you see money, don't think of it as like, I need that, right? Think of it as, this is a tool. This is a resource. What am I going to do with this, right? You know, I like that it said, God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things at all times, you will abound in every good work. So look, the whole point of money is to do good works with it. It's a resource. It in itself is just a thing, but what you do with it, it's a resource. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so, you know, we got to see it as a means to an end, not something that it's like, I need money. That's not the end. Money is a means to an end,
right?
And so we could think we have a right to money, but instead of viewing money as a right, we should view it as a resource.
Amen,
let me get it so I can give it, right? Money is a resource, and God is paying attention to how you use it. That's the parable of the talents, right? Here's 2, 5, 10. I'm going to come back and see what you do with this. It's talking about money there. Also, it could be applied to gifts or talents that you have, but definitely money. You know, we're giving money and it's a resource. How are we going to use it? We should be using it to build the kingdom and using it the way that Jesus is. Another thing that will help you give generously and cheerfully is trusting God when it comes to money, right? If you don't trust God, you're not going to give generously because you're worried. You're taking matters in your own hand. You're like, well, I need to take care of myself because I don't know where else it's going to come from. If you don't trust God, it's going to be hard to give generously. You know, Malachi 3, verse 8 to 10, super convicting. It says, will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not even be enough room to store it. You know, God's saying, look, you're robbing me because I deserve at least a tenth of what you have, and you're not giving me the full tenth. That's mine. You're not giving it to me. That means you're robbing me. You're stealing it. Give me the full tithe. That's 10% is what a tithe is. And then just watch. Test me in this. It's saying, trust me. Give and trust me, and you watch, and I'm going to bless you. I'm gonna take care of you. And you don't give to be blessed. You give because it's God's. And then God's saying, if you do, I'll bless you, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, we've got to see that God is challenging us to trust him financially. And not only are we robbing God by not giving generously, you're actually robbing yourself.
Yeah.
Acts 20:35 says it's more blessed to give than receive. So you're keeping blessing from yourself by not giving. Because you'd be more blessed if you gave. Proverbs 11:25 says, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Right.
Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom and the rest will be given to you as well. By not giving to God generously and rightfully, you're actually robbing not only him, but yourself. Right? We hurt ourselves when we don't give generously. Obviously, it also hurts our character because we're learning to put our trust in ourselves instead of when we really just step out on faith and give, it causes us to say, God, I'm trusting you with this. You called me to do this. It's looking thin, but I'm going to do it and trust you. And it helps us to grow. Two more here. Another thing to help you give generously, view it all as God's anyway. It's already his. And I kind of said this already, but Psalm 50 verse 12, God says, the world is mine and all that is in it.
Right.
He's saying, look, everything you see, it's mine. And he says, the cows, the grass, it's all mine. He owns everything. It's his. You know, so it's worldly thinking to think this is my money, I earned it. One of the first verses I memorized because of how much I struggle with this was Deuteronomy 8 verse 17 and 18. God says, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors. Wow. Right? Saying, you might think, I earned this, I worked for it. But he's like, but remember God, because if it wasn't for him, you wouldn't even have hands and feet.
That's right.
You'd be dead. You wouldn't even exist. So before you go saying this is mine, remember who even gave you the ability to earn it. It's all God's. You know, I understand this. I remember being a waiter, and I got baptized while I was a waiter. So I was still a waiter after I became a Christian. And the culture in my job of being a waiter was however much you made in tips, just figure out however many hours you worked, what minimum wage would be, and just say that's how much you got in tips. That way you only pay taxes on that much. And then also we had to pay the busboys 10% of our tips. And then I was just giving the busboys 10% of minimum wage, not 10% of what I actually made, right? And so after I became a disciple, you know, there was some struggle there of like, I know that everyone else I'm working with, A, is paying less taxes than me on what they're making because they're lying about what they're making and I'm not anymore. And B, I used to give them 10% of this. Now I'm giving them 10% of this. But it convicted me because I'm like, Rob, you're not losing anything. You're actually just finally giving them what was theirs already.
Wow.
You were stealing it. Actually, probably you should count back however long you've been working and recoup some of that because you owe it to them. I didn't do that. Maybe I should have. You know, I also, when I was 13 or 14 years old, a friend of mine, we found money in my uncle's house and we stole about 1,500 bucks from my uncle cash. Right? And then I became a disciple. I confessed it. I was like, I'm not stealing anymore. And I had a thought deep down, I should pay him back one day. And you know, that was something that was like, I'll do it one day. But right now I don't have 1,500 bucks to pay him back. So when I have it, I'll pay him back. And then time goes by and I've got 1,500 bucks, not just to go crazy with, but it was there, you know? And I'm like, well, I don't know how he's gonna take it. And I spent a year or two just talking myself out of it. And the truth was, I just didn't want to give up the 1,500 bucks. I was like, I was viewing it as this is my money, you know, but it's like, this is not your money. This is his money. And then I finally met up with him. I told him I took it. I gave it back to him. He responded super graciously, surprised. It was a great conversation. And what he said to me was, Rob, it's all right. You know, I'll find a way to give it back to you. And I was like, Drew, it's yours. You don't have to find a way to give this back to me. Because he was just so impressed that I gave it back to him. You know, he's like, I'll get it back to you somehow. I'm like, no, this is yours. He was trying to get me to leave with it. And I'm like, I'm not leaving with this. You're keeping it. This has been on my conscience for 3 years. You're keeping it, you know? So, but look, it was like, who am I to be greedy with this? It was his the whole time, right? So who are we to be greedy with any of our money? It's God's already.
Right.
So you're not going, how much of my money should I give God this week? It's how much of God's money am I going to give back to him this week? Right? It's all his anyway. So, you know, think about it as that way. View it all as God's possession. Lastly, be disciplined. If you're not disciplined financially, you're not going to be able to give generously. Right? Without discipline, you can't give. You're shortcutting your life by not being disciplined. We've got to have self-control and discipline. Right? If you're going to give generously and sacrificially, that means you have to live below your means. That means even if you can afford a certain lifestyle, you decide, I'm not going to. I'm going to live a lesser lifestyle because I could be content with that, so I can give more because this matters more to me than living this way.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm not going to accrue credit card debt. I'm not going to, because that's part of living below your means too, is I can't afford to live that way. So I'm not going to act like I can live that way. I don't need to live that way. If I have food and clothing, I'll be content with that so that I could still give something instead of trying to live according to this lifestyle I see in my culture around me. Let me just be content so I could still give. Live below your, it takes self-control to do that though, and
right.
Discipline, right? Self-denial. You've got to make and stick to a budget. And do it now, because as you make more money, it's just going to get harder to do, right? Do it now. And if you don't have a job, if there's any spending you do, make a budget for that. If you do, how many of you have a job? Okay, most of you. So there should be budgets in this room. Sit down and make a budget. You know, if you read all of 2 Corinthians, the Corinthians figured out what they were going to give for this special contribution a year before it was going to happen.
Wow.
Right? You've got to sit down and be disciplined. And Chelsea and I sit down every December. We review the last year's budget and we make the next year's. We talk about what are we giving the special this year every month. We set aside a 12th of whatever we want to give. We look at what do we want to give weekly for contribution. I set up the automatic deposit for that. Right? I recalculate what's 10%, figure out how much more than that we want to be able to give. And we make a budget. But then we also got to look at groceries, at electric bill, all of that stuff. But you got to look at it. And so I would encourage you, sit down and make a budget. The most basic way to do that is figure out how much you make in a month, put that number on top, and think of all of your expenses. And then figure out what ones are unmovable, put those numbers in, and what ones do you have control over, but be realistic. Fill in those numbers. Look at, is it a positive or negative number on the bottom, right? You want it to be positive because you want to save money. That's responsible. But also then look at the contribution number and go, is this 10%? Take the top number, make sure you're including taxes in that because you want to give to God before you give to Caesar, right? You want to pay tax, you want to pay contribution on pre-tax, not post-tax. You don't give God, does that make sense?
Yeah.
So go, what's my post-tax income? Divide that by 10, that's 10%. And then start with that. You know, and so, you know, that's being responsible and giving to God from a place of discipline. You've got to take responsibility with your life. Joe Casper is offering a financial class. Get more info on that. Take it. It will help you a lot. We should be responsible with taking care of ourselves so that we can give to others, right? It's going to take discipline to do that. I just want to see what I could skip here. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2 says, now about the collection for the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, that's Sunday, each of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. So we should give in parallel with our income. You make more, you should give more. You make less, you got to look at, do I need to give less, right? If you have no income, then look at, well, what spending am I doing? And of the spending I'm doing, is there any I can set aside and go, this is God's instead of mine? Right? Maybe eating out or different things. And look at that and try to figure that out. But I do want to hit this quick and then we'll close out. How much should you give? What is generous? Is 10% really what we should be aiming for? How much does that matter? I do think what we definitely don't want to do is have an approach to contribution that's, when it comes, let me just see what I've got. Right? Imagine treating a loved family member on Christmas that way. Right? Hey, I had this in my car, you know? It's like, do you love me, you know? And so when contribution buckets come in and God's like, it says in Corinthians, this is a proof of your love. It's like, did you think about what you were going to give me? Did you think about it? Did you bring it? Did you remember it? You don't go to the mall without your wallet, but you came to church without it.
What,
you know, so we got to be responsible, right? Multiple times in the Bible it says, Multiple times it says, no one should appear before me empty-handed.
All right.
So every Sunday you should give something. And I want to say, if you have a budget and you're disciplined, you should know what you're giving and know how much you're giving and know what amount it is, and be cheerful and proud of what you're giving to God. So the Old Testament commanded 10% and tithe, right? Give 10%. The New Testament does not have a specific number commanded, right? So here's what we are told. It's whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap sparingly. Each of you should give, not 10%. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. That should incentivize us not to give less than 10%, but if anything, more. Right? It's like God saying, God loves a cheerful giver. Give cheerfully. We shouldn't walk away and go, wow, I guess I don't have to give X amount, you know? Instead, we should view it as, wow, now God's freeing me up to think about my heart and go, how grateful am I? And how much do I want to give God? Right? And that's how much we should give. But Jesus does say in Matthew 23:23, woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spice, mint, dill, and cumin, but you've neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Right. And he's rebuking them, saying, you give a tenth because you're forgetting about justice, mercy, faithfulness. He says you should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former.
Right.
And so Jesus is saying here, you should have given 10%. That wasn't wrong, but you also should have had faithfulness, love, and mercy. And so there is some precedent there to say Jesus does say give 10% of what you got. But I also think there's a lot of precedent to give more. The new covenant that we're under is better than the old covenant. Right? And we see that in Jesus' teachings. He says things like, you've heard that it was said, don't kill. But I say to you, don't even hate your brother or sister. So whatever was under the old covenant, Jesus kind of expands it, right? And illuminates it, and even increases upon it.
Right.
If Jesus mentioned contribution, maybe he would have said something like, you've heard it been said, give 10%. But I tell you, give generously from the heart, not because you have to, but because you're grateful. You know? And so it's like, do we have to give 10%? Maybe not. But should we? I think we should. I think we should be generous. The definition of generosity is showing a readiness to give more of something, such as money or time, than is strictly necessary or expected. Larger or more plentiful than is usual or necessary. The definition of greed was wanting more than you need. The
wow.
definition of generosity is giving more than you need to.
Wow.
It's the complete opposite. So you go from want more than you need to give more than you need to. That's what we should do, is go from wanting more than we need to I'm going to give even more than I have to. Could I just give that? Yeah, but I'm going to give even more because of all these things we talked about.
Amen.
You know, so we want to give sacrificially. We want to give generously. And I know it's easy to say, well, we're campus students. We don't have much. Just remember the woman that came up and put her 2 coins in. And that wasn't a passage given to us so we could say, well, I feel good about putting $2 in. The point of that passage is not that she put in 2 cents so you could feel good about putting in 2 cents. The point of that passage is she put in 2 cents and she only had 2 cents.
That's right.
And so the point of that is it's not how much you give total, it's how much you give out of what you have. Right? And so we should give sacrificially, we should give generously. So use 10% as a starting point, I would encourage you to do. But give generously because you're grateful for all he's given.
Right.
You know, as you leave here tonight, I would encourage you, figure out a budget. Take this finance class if you can, but definitely figure out a budget. Get help with it from somebody who knows what they're talking about. And I really hope from now on Sundays, I don't need to feel worried, nervous, or embarrassed, or even deny myself to even think about glancing at the bucket after it goes through campus. And feel like, God, this is making too much noise because there's way too much change in here. But really that we can, as a campus ministry, please God in this way. And that each of us, I would love it if every disciple in this ministry, not I would love it, God loves a cheerful giver. If each and every one of us, God would love it if you showed up every Sunday knowing, deciding in your heart, setting aside a sum of money what you're going to give. And then you get to see the church grow and know that I played a part in that. It was God's money anyway, but I gave it back to him. And now I'm getting to watch it get used. Just like I spent $5 on this great drink, or just like I spent, now I gave towards this, and look at what I'm seeing happen now. And you get to be a part of that.
Yeah.
You know, so figure out the budget. Be grateful. Value the use. View money as a resource. Trust God. View it all as his. Be disciplined so that you can give generously from the heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion.
Right.
You know, we've got to grow in our generosity. God's calling us to repent of greed. Look for greed in your life and be eager, urgent to get rid of it.
Right.
And as you're getting rid of the greed, replace it with generosity. Let's go from wanting more than we need to giving even more than we need to. Amen? Thank you, guys.
Cool.